You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Now, it's Mental Health Awareness Week, and this year's theme is movement. So as we focus on moving more for our mental health, joining me now to discuss a little bit about that link is Amanda Hawkins, RNIB's Head of Mental Health Services, and Alice Holloway, RNIB's Head of Sport and Physical Activity. Now, so movement, obviously an amazing theme for this year's Mental Health Awareness Week, and I know logically, many of us know that moving our bodies makes us maybe feel in a better mood, but is the impact of physical activity really that big on our mental health? I feel like we should throw to Amanda.
Yeah, it does. And actually, it's scientifically proven. So we know that when we get up and we move, we increase our endorphins, the hormones that make us feel better. So actually, physically, it's really good for us to get up and move, and it gets those hormones going. People who are very static, you know, those endorphins tend to kind of tail off a bit, and it can leave us feeling a bit low. So physiologically and scientifically, the evidence is there.
And I think, Alice, you work on a big project for RNIB, the See Sport Differently project. So I imagine you've seen quite a few instances of speaking with people who are blind and partially sighted who are in sport. Do you see this sort of trend where they maybe pick up a physical activity and they find it improves their mental well-being?
That's actually one of the key things that people get out of sport and physical activity, no matter what you do. And, you know, it depends on what sort of thing you like, whether you are part of a club or like exercising in a group, or whether you're kind of more of an individual runner or cyclist or whatever you fancy doing. You know, there's literally something out there for everyone. But unless you are active, you just don't realize that the benefits that you get, both from a mental health perspective, but also from a social perspective, you know, that sense of community and belonging is really does wonders for people's confidence as well. But I can also understand thought that, you know, when you are feeling a bit low, you just don't want to, you know, we've all been there as well. You're just feeling not great, don't have the motivation, and then you get into this negative headspace. But then also you might end up making yourself feel bad about not wanting to do anything. So it's really tricky. But what we do know is it's like really simple, short movement. It doesn't have to be anything crazy, you know, and just kind of moving about your house, doing some exercises. And we've got plenty of resources at RNIB as well that can help with that.
I like what you said there about how it can be really hard to break this almost like a vicious cycle of, if your mental health's bad, you often find you don't have the energy to sometimes get out of bed, let alone go outside, go for a run, like a lot of people seem to push. You should do something quite extreme, but it doesn't have to be extreme. It can be simple. But how do we get out of the slump? Are there any ways, Amanda? Is that something you find people struggle with a lot?
Yeah, and I think right at the beginning, I think you have to tell yourself it's going to make you feel better. You might not believe it, but you have to tell yourself you're going to feel better if you get out and do something. And I know for myself, over the last year, the last 2 years, I lost my mum and my dad, and I was feeling really low. And times I didn't want to get up, but telling myself I will feel better if I go swimming, I will feel better if I get out for a walk. And then just writing that down or making a note of that voice note, just saying, actually, I did go for a walk and I did feel better. And I think it's about retraining our brains to make sure that we start embedding a little bit of activity in our lives every day, even if it's difficult at first. And everyone has a lack of confidence at the beginning. I'm fully sighted, but I didn't feel confident about moving and getting out and incorporating exercise into my life. And I'm in a completely different place now. So I can understand the journey, but I think it's really important. And it's balancing that mental health and physical health. And the two have to be in balance, I think, for us to keep well. It's not just mental health, it's for us to keep well.
And I like what you mentioned there about confidence. And I think, Alice, this is something that comes up a lot, which is a lot of people who do lose their sight don't feel confident in maybe going to gyms or sports spaces, or don't even know how they can continue a sport or an activity they used to really enjoy before.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's part of why we're doing the See Sport Differently campaign, is we know that blind and partially sighted people do face a lot of additional barriers. And we're not saying it's easy, absolutely not, but you know, there's accessibility, there's that awareness of what's out there, cost, confidence, transportation even, like there's it's much bigger than just kind of physical activity opportunities. But what we've done with C Sport differently is try to kind of create a hub where there's stories from blind and partially sighted people about their journey and how they got active and how they actually overcame some of those barriers. And it's not necessarily always going to be super easy. And as Amanda says, it's difficult for anyone to find the most motivation. But if you do feel like you want to try something new, I'd head over to the C Sport Differently website and maybe watch a couple of those stories, because there are ways to kind of find out more about what's in your local area, and there's support out there to get over some of those barriers. You know, more than two-fifths of people with sight loss say that sight loss doesn't stop them from exercising as much as they want to. So I hope that people hearing this can use that as motivation to know that there's lots of people like that who are getting stuck in and just giving something a go. It really doesn't have to be anything big. Trying something is kind of all it takes to get started.
I feel like we sometimes forget that even just doing gardening could be really good for us and really beneficial.
Oh yeah, definitely. There's so many things that you can do, you know, whether that's something within the house, home workouts that we've got with Mr. Motivator on the C Sport Differently website, and British Blind Sport have plenty of active at home online workouts. You know, walking around the block, up and down the street, in the garden, just generally being outdoors. You know, it's really about getting that fresh air, getting that slightly different perspective on the world, and taking yourself out from a different surrounding. Something I learned recently, actually, and I don't have the scientific evidence to back this up, but it has been scientifically proved, is that exercise is a keystone habit, which basically means that if you do kind of regularly exercise, it puts you in that positive frame of mind where actually you then want to do all the other things that help, you know, support good mental health, like your sleep, you know, eating well, seeing people, you know, that social element. So I found that really interesting personally. Makes sense, but I didn't realize quite how much it can affect, you know, everything else in a positive way as well.
You mentioned the word spiral, and I think, you know, when people lose confidence and they don't want to do things, you go on a downward spiral. And I think taking that first step into exercise takes us on an upward spiral. So it might be that I'm really nervous about going out for a walk, but then I phone a friend and I do go out for a walk. And not only did I go out for a walk, I had a really good chat with my friend. And when I came back, I felt better, and I felt more enthused about maybe, oh, actually, I don't want to eat, you know, that bag of Doritos and drink that bottle of wine tonight. I actually want to have something a lot more healthy for me. So I think you're right, Alice. I think it is one of those keystone, but I think it comes from those endorphins and that sense of I can do rather than I can't do. It just changes that mindset. And I think the fact that we complete exercise or an activity, whether or not that is going out into the garden or just, you know, going out for a walk with a friend, we've done something, we've completed something, and that really boosts confidence.
Do you think it's important we actually set some achievable goals as well when we pick up exercise? Let's say we've not been active for a while, and I know from experience this year, I used to walk a lot, but since the pandemic that dropped massively. So rather than setting this generic 10,000 steps a day, I was like, oh, well, I've not been walking that much. I don't think I can do that every day for a week. So I lowered that threshold and I found it much easier, even mentally. To do it, it didn't feel as overwhelming.
There's a psychologist in New Zealand who works a lot around resilience, and she says when we're not feeling resilient, actually just to throw yourself out there and say, I want to go for a run or I want to go for a walk, but I don't think I could do 30 minutes. Just saying, I'm going to go and do 10 minutes, I'm going to give 5 minutes, and giving yourself that opportunity to say, that's all I'm going to do, and I can turn around and come home. What we find is when people do those tiny little steps, like getting out for 5 minutes, getting out for 10 minutes, they're often out there longer. And then they remind themselves of that positive feeling, and then they plan to do it again. So it is about taking those first steps, lowering the goals. You know, you just got to get out there and take that plunge, haven't you?
Yeah, definitely. Because sometimes we put too much pressure on ourselves, don't we? And if we're saying to ourselves, oh, well, it's got to be a 30-minute walk, or it's got to be a side class or whatever, if that's stopping us doing it, ultimately it's better to do five than none. It's just about being kind to yourself, I think, in that sense.
I think it's also about remembering that message in there that if I do get out and do something, I will feel better. If I'm struggling, then sometimes just getting out, doing something that's physically active will shift that mood. And if that's the only thing you do all day, but that's okay.
Well, if we wanted to find out more information, of course, about the resources available when it comes to See Sport Differently, or perhaps what services are available around supporting your well-being at the moment, you can visit the RNAB website, which is rnab.org.uk. However, if we wanted to get involved in Mental Health Awareness Week, is there anything you would like to see us do this week, maybe on social media or get involved in anything?
Yeah, I would love to hear people's stories. How does exercise or movement support your own mental health? Share it with us on the RNAB social media channels. Moments for Movement is the kind of official hashtag of the Mental Health Awareness Week this week. As you mentioned, Paulina, as well, head to the website if you wanted any more information on what is out there and the kind of taking those first steps. There is a way to adapt pretty much everything to make it accessible.
Going to add in there, if people's confidence fell uber low and they wanted to use a mental well-being check-in just to check their confidence and things they can help to motivate them to take that first step, because I think it's more of a yin and yang thing. Some people will enter through the activity, some people want to talk about it before they do the activity, but and we all offer both. So if you want to find out more about our mental well-being check-ins, if you just head over to our website at rnib.org.uk.
Well, fantastic. Amanda, Alice, thank you so much for speaking on RNAB Connect Radio.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Thank you.